second, who was notoriously homosexual, was murdered by his barons. They inserted a white-hot iron poker into his fundament. It was said that his dying screams were heard better than 5 miles away.
Thanks for the story, Doc. Just what we wanted.
They all listened, but there were no further cries from higher up the valley. J.B. pointed out that evening was closing in, and they'd better get moving on toward where they thought the sticky camp was situated. Dorina broke the silence after the prisoners had been herded back into the dark, damp kiva.
We gotta fucking try.
Ryan sat quietly and waited to see what effect her pebble would have on the pool, how big the ripples might be, and whether anyone else was ready to chuck in their own stone.
She's right, all of you. They can't do more than chill us, and we already know, sure as God makes little chickens, that the bastards are going to do that.
Nah, they won't just kill us quick and easy. We've seen that they get real good at making it long, slow, and hard. I'd rather take a bullet in the head and try and take a sticky with me on the last train west.
Get me close enough, and I'll strangle one of the sons of bitches before they butcher me. That'll be better than biting their bullets.
You got friends, Ryan? One who escaped, and there's others?
Yeah.
Could be they're on their way to try to spring us.
I sure wouldn't want to stake my life on them getting here before tomorrow night. From what Charlie said, that's likely to be when we all get hit.
You in or not?
I'm not sure.
Stop being a pussy and stand up like the man you aren't.
You know I couldn't stop them
when they raped me, again and again. Well, Bob Leonard, you could maybe do something now.
Sure, sure. If everyone wants to go for it, then I'll be right there.
Sure, right there at the back.
Keep your voices down. Last thing we need is some sticky going running to his boss with what we're gonna do. Me and Christy are going to go for it.
Ryan had already noticed that two of the other prisoners were keeping quiet. Fat Harold Lord, the complaining candy salesman who looked like he'd spent too much of his life sampling his own wares, and the traveling preacher, white-haired Joe Bob Jarman.
9 of us. I only heard 7 saying they were for fighting, not dying. 2 didn't speak.
I need time to think.
Sure, Harold. You got 30 seconds. How about you, Reverend?
It goes against my being a man of peace. A man of God.
Stickies will likely crucify you, Reverend. Painful way of passing the Dark River. Your 30 seconds are up, Harold.
What if I don't want to agree to your plan?
You haven't heard it.
Bet it's no good.
Being burned alive or being fed your own pieces with chili sauce ain't too good either, Harold.
Guess not. But what if I don't like it?
Look, Harold, this isn't some kind of civilized debate on morality. You're with us or you're against us.
All right. Sure, I'm in. Is that it?
Shut the fuck up! You heard what Brian said.
Sure. And what he said wasn't worth a spoonful of sugar and a vat of molasses. Not worth an ant's fart.
Ryan was suddenly angry, partly because he knew that the young man's reaction was justified.
You gutless little fuck! I'm gonna grab you around your stinking neck until your eyes squeeze out of your skull, just like seeds from an orange. You do the same as the rest of us, or I swear to God, I'll chill you right here and now.
But they all got blasters.
Old muskets, self-mades, and patch-ups. You do better with a good bow and arrow. Believe me, Harold, I know.
Yeah, but... They take us out, and we jump them and grab blasters and run for it? Danny's a crip. 3 women? Me and the preacher aren't combat sec men, Ryan. You gotta see sense. There's only truly 3 of you who can fight.
Harold, listen to me.
I'm listening. I am, really.
Ryan had seen every aspect of his beloved's character, so he thought. But now she was the older, wiser sister, comforting and encouraging, teasing a little, wiping away the sudden flood of tears that rolled over the unseen plump cheeks, praising Harold for his courage in the face of ghastly adversity.
If we're to die, Harold, isn't it better to go out fighting? On your feet, not cringing on your belly? Isn't it?
In the end, Christy was successful. Harold was in. Harold was in all the way. 3 miles away, down the meandering valley, J.B. was on solitary watch. He had chosen to take the shift from midnight until 4 in the morning, the longest 4 hours known to man. The others were all sleeping quietly, wrapped in blankets, blasters ready to hand. Doc was on his back. JB sat with his back against a Sitka spruce. The wind had veered northerly, and he could taste the threat of rain on his tongue. The Smith & Wesson M4012 gauge rested across JB's lap, its 8 flechette rounds ready for use. The night was quiet. The armorer thought of Ryan, trying to guess what might be happening. JB had already thought through the strong possibility that his oldest, closest friend was 2 days dead. Stickies weren't known for keeping their Norm prisoners alive for very long. If Ryan and Christy had been snuffed out, then what was left was revenge. Total, absolute revenge. Just as dark had come down, he'd spotted a narrow trail high up on the far side of the ravine, looking like it had been established by goats, clinging to the edge of the sharp cliff. It had occurred to JB that it might be worth trying to cross the river and reach the trail. The path they had been laboring along had been ravaged by the rains, and any further deterioration in the weather could make it utterly impassable. Clouds came sailing across the moon, darkening the forest. JB automatically slid his finger under the trigger of the M4000, straining his eyes into the blackness. Wind rustled the trees, and the sound of the tumbling water seemed to have become suddenly louder. But there was something else. Like smoke coiling from a fire, the slightly built armorer stood up, melting into the blackness around him. Something moved. He corrected that thought as he heard the faint mutter of voices. Someone moved. JB glanced over his shoulder, his keen night vision enabling him to pick out the lumpy shapes of his sleeping friends. There was a grave risk of one of them waking and calling out to him, bringing the strangers down like a pack of hunting wolves. But the alternative risk of trying to ease them all silently from sleep was infinitely higher. JB stood still and waited and watched, trying to work out how many were moving north toward the higher ground and who they were. The clouds thwarted him in the former, while the insistent river remained just loud enough to blur any speech. But there was enough sound to tell him that the group moving through the night was a large one. JB didn't much care for guessing, but when there was no choice, he figured there was 50 or more in the party. Once they'd all passed, he kept perfectly still and counted 1,000 heartbeats, waiting in case they'd posted a rear guard. But the night remained quiet. Ryan awoke with a start, feeling his heart thump. He opened his eye and saw only the faint glow of the big campfire peeking through the cover of their prison. For a moment, he couldn't work out what jerked him from sleep. Then he realized that the weighted silk scarf was missing from around his neck. On the far side of the kiva, he caught the whisper of movement and harsh, strained breathing.
Christy?
Yeah?
What are you...
Just Childas a traitor.
Within seconds, everyone in the kiva was awake, asking urgent, whispered questions.
Woke when I felt movement. He was trying to tap on the grill above to attract the attention of the sticky guard. Heard what he was saying. He wanted to tell Charlie about an escape. That's all I heard.
What did you do? You got a knife hidden, Christy?
No. Ryan's scarf is white silk, really strong. Strong enough.
You strangled him?
Had the scarf in both hands looped in the middle. Had it around his throat before he knew what I was doing.
Nothing like a good garrote for a quick, quiet chilling. You did him without disturbing me 5 feet away, Christy. That's real good.
He had it coming. We all know you did the right thing, and did it well.
Oh, terrific. Now we got us a strangled corpse in here with us. How in the name of the Savior do we explain that one, Ryan?
We won't have to. We stick to our plan and leave him down here. By the time we make the rush on them, it'll be way too late for anyone to notice one dead man, more or less.
Never would have thought it would have been him. Would have expected it to be someone else.
You mean you thought if we had a traitor, it'd be me, didn't you? Ugly old bitch.
Shut the fuck up, Harold. One more word and I'll break your whining neck.
Yeah, then you got 2 chills in here. And Danny shit himself when he died. And we gotta put up with that smell all night.
I never met anyone who complained as much as you, Harold. You got it to a real art, boy. If Christie hadn't choked Danny for us, then what little chance we have would have been lost. You ever think of that, Harold?
I guess I didn't. I'm real sorry, Christie. I got a loose mouth.
Why'd he do it?
He sounded like he was desperate. Lost his mind, almost.